You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Chia Siang Ti, CEO and Executive Director of Eversafe Rubber, which is set to be listed on the ACE market very soon. Good morning, Siang Ti, and welcome to the Breakfast Grill.
Good morning, Han.
Now, you are in the tire retreading industry.
Yes.
Real quick, what is tire retreading?
Tire retreading is an industry that you repair and rebuild and recondition a worn-out used tire, and I'll give it a new life and then put it back on road.
When you mention the term retreaded tires, there are concerns about its safety. Question is, are retreaded tires safe?
Well, definitely. Retreaded tires are reprocessed, rebuild and repair the old tires back into the original condition. Retreaded tires are regulated. We fulfill the Malaysian standards, which the respective standards are the Malaysian standard 224, which is also regulated by our CIRIM and also our JPJ, and also partly tested by the LGM, which under this certification, if your retreaded tire manufacturers went through this product certification, the product are safe to use and safe to put on road.
Yet you've got the Tire Retreading Manufacturers Association in Malaysia itself admitting that 30% of the 1.2 million retreaded tires on the market, they are not manufactured according to specifications.
Well, this is more of a comeback into the certification of the respective retreaders. See, retreaders is required by the law, or you can say it's required by the JPJ regulations, that the tires that put on the road needs to be MS224 certified.
Okay, what does that mean?
That means that this tire has to be gone through the mandatory product certification process, and the manufacturer has to renew their license every year, subjected to the audit by the accredited auditors. So there are 30%, which means that there are retread manufacturers that do not comply or do not apply for these certifications, which somehow their tires are used in off-road condition. If they are using for mining, where quarry, where all the trucks never go onto the road, strictly speaking, they are not fall under the scope. So if they are in the logging industry in Sabah and Sarawak or the plantation industry, as long as their motor vehicles do not go onto the road, theoretically they are not fall under the scope that is that put on the road. So that is the grey area that caused the ambiguity.
Now, for Eversafe Rubber in particular, I understand that your retreaded tires are mainly for commercial vehicles, or are they used for passenger vehicles as well?
No. We mainly use for commercial vehicles.
Okay.
No longer with passenger cars or consumer market.
Nevertheless, when you mention retreaded tires, there's still this negative market perception, right? So as you go about your business, how do you counter that kind of negative perception?
Well, I think it's through education and promotion that our company are Malaysian standard certified, as are safe to use, and then is recognized by JPJ, so you will not get caught on the road, or when you go for your biannual testing of a vehicle, you will be accepted, right? This so on and so forth. But most importantly, I would say that to educate the user, especially the transport or fleet drivers, to properly maintain their tires. If tires are properly maintained with the correct air pressure, with the correct usage, and also there's no overloading on the goods and the truck, the goods they carry are not more than the load that is approved, new tire and retreaded tires are equally safe to be used on the road.
But that perception, though, that negative perception, is not just among users. That perception even goes all the way up to the Transport Ministry. You've had recent comments from the Transport Minister talking about the lack of safety when it comes to retreaded tires. So how do you engage that stakeholder then?
Well, we engage these stakeholders by making clarification and make sure that our products, all the retreaded products so we sell, are from approved, so-called MS224 certified retreaders. So we will not sell any product. Or ourselves in-house, we make retreaded tires or make sure that we comply with the standards and go through the mandatory certification every year.
Now, have you personally gone on to try and explain this to the Transport Ministry?
No, not really.
Why not?
We are well represented by our association. I think they have done a lot of press conference to clarify this.
Is it enough, though?
I think it should be enough.
But yet the negative perception still remains, though, not just among users, but with the government as well.
Well, I say this has been an ongoing question, you know. And tyre retreading as industry has been a very important industry in Malaysia for the last 50 or 60 years. And then there always, every now and then, I would say every 10 plus years, there will be a lot of issues regarding these issues. And in fact, in the reality, is the misuse of tyre can be in even a new tyre. Road accidents or any safety issue that is in reality they are caused by overloading of the vehicles, not by the safety of the tires. Mm. So this has always been there, that there is retreaded tires has become a scapegoat when things happen. But in reality, when you go and probe inside in details, majority of the tire problems that causes accident could be from new tires.
So basically it's a misuse then?
Yes, actually okay. It's a misuse. And just to share, at least 75% of the tires used by commercial aircraft are retreaded tires. Well, this amount was bigger, maybe up to 90% in a few decades ago. But now it's about 75% because there are a lot of new planes come out to dilute the figure. But at least I still believe more than 70% to 75% of the tires used by commercial jets are retreaded tires.
Also, according to media reports, your domestic market share is about 22%. So how do you plan to claim a bigger slice of the pie? How do you grow that 22%?
Well, in fact, this 22% is a rough estimate. Okay, we plan to grow it. Well, with this, I think it creates awareness for us that I take it in more positive way with the negative image saying that retreaded tires are not safe. But so, in order to make the retreaded tires safe, you need the better quality materials. Our market share is the materials been supplying to the retreaders. So with our supply, these materials, I would say 100% of our customers are Malaysian standard certified. So with this, more people create more awareness to use better quality retreaded tires. Therefore, we will grow together with the industry. Yeah.
You're also facing foreign competition. We understand that retreaded tires from China is certainly making inroads into the domestic market. How do you fend that off?
See, I would say that China tire is fighting inroad into Malaysia, not retreaded tires. I would say that Chinese retreaded tires cannot even compete with us, you know, with their cost. Okay. So just the new Chinese tire is coming in, which that the pricing will affect us because they are cheap. But just like you know, every car or every vehicle, they are like, they have low-end cars, they have mid-end cars, they are high-end cars, right? So definitely you will face a competition, you know, if you are selling a price that is near to the new Chinese tires. But this is just the preconception of humans that everyone still believe that new things are better than used things. But in reality, a good retreaded tires can have a longer lifespan, longer life than a new tires, which is a budget quality. That is the place where the retreaded tire comes in. Retreaded tires or retreading itself is a value add to extend the life of the investment you have put in the original life of the tire. That's it. End of the day, it's talking about the cost per kilometer.
What about illegal treaded tires then? How do you fend off that challenge?
Well, illegal tires, these are, we have the enforcement authority, which is under the, there are two enforcement authority under the current scheme.
But are you seeing yourself losing market share because of the illegal retreaded tires?
Oh, yes. Mm. It is. We are losing that one. But with the recent operation, I think it will help us, you know. And then we are seeing more demand and, you know, people, shortage of tires in the market, you know, because of the illegals while we're clamping down by the government.
Now, in just a bit, we'll get into your expectations surrounding your upcoming listing on the ACE market. I'm speaking to Chia Siang Ti, CEO and Executive Director of Eversafe Rubber. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Chia Siang Ti, CEO and Executive Director of Eversafe Rubber, which is involved in the tire retreading industry and is set to be listed on the ACE market. So, Chia, the IPO is looking to raise over 17 million ringgit. What are the plans for those proceeds?
Well, majority of our proceeds, about 14 million, it goes to the upgrade of our existing facilities, automate our existing facilities, and make it more efficient, which that you can get a higher output. And the automation will help us to reduce our reliance on manual labor. Then our per person output will be higher. Therefore, we are running at more efficient, and that will give us a better business.
What kind of timeline do you see in terms of reducing your existing workforce?
Well, I would say we are on a growing trend.
Okay.
Okay. We do not foresee we are going to reduce our headcount significantly. However, we are going to use and reallocate this workforce in order to grow a bigger business with the upgrade of automation. So, for example, I may not need 10 person for such manufacturing line. I only need 6. But from there, I can maybe have 1.5 lines to 2 lines of outputs. So which that one will make utilize more of our current capacity in order to churn out more product.
So instead of those 10 people, you use 6, what's going to happen to the other 4?
The other 4, maybe I get another 2, then I can have a double of the capacity.
All right, so still on a hiring trend for employees.
Yes,
then.
Yes.
Okay. Currently, how much are you relying on foreign labor?
Well, it's about half, 49 to 50% of our current workforce is considered foreign labor.
So given that half of your workforce comes from overseas, how are you managing those expectations by the government whereby they've been trying to enforce various rules and policies, granted somewhat haphazardly and somewhat inconsistently? How are you managing those expectations from the government?
Well, I would say by retraining and then keeping good foreign labours. We have foreign workers that work for us for more than 10 years, even in the supervisory level for running certain production lines. So with our experience, we can keep the good workers here, and then we keep recycling the workers in and out, and in order to retain the good ones, that become our key workforce. And with the good foreign labor, they have a very higher efficiency and output. That actually even we don't need that much of foreign workers.
Higher efficiency, higher output than local workers?
Well, somehow, yes. Because some of them are quite hardworking, and then they want to earn enough to feed their family at home. Some even have their family to come to work in other factories, to form their family here. So I believe that with the retaining of good foreign labors, skilled foreign labors, which that can help the productivity overall for the whole company.
Would it be safe to say that the other 50% of domestic workers, they are mainly in the upper rungs of your hierarchy?
No, it go all across.
All across?
Go okay. All across. I would say half of this 50%, 25% are in the administrative, sales and marketing or higher up. And I think another 25% will be still at the really low ground. We have drivers. Well, our drivers that sending the goods, some work for us for more than 25 years, 30 years. We have workers with us since day one, since 1980, still working with us. Even after their retirement age of 60 or male or 55, they still continue with us. So we have a good mix of senior people, we have middle ages, and we have young people.
So to put it simply, these government policies or their various restrictions on foreign labour, that's got to be a problem to you, right?
Yeah, it will be a more challenging task to manage as compared to before. But for all these years, we do not have the much problem of getting enough workers. But the only thing that is now that the application process is getting longer, that make us that we have to be prepared for the turnaround far earlier than before. Previously, I need to plan maybe half year need. Now I have to plan for 1 year.
Because the idea here is to make sure that you employ more local workers, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a reasonable request?
Well, I do not believe that we have enough workforce in Malaysia. And even we are actively hiring locals, but we are hard to get young local people to join. You know, partly maybe they believe that the environment of working in the factory is no good, or if they would prefer a more easy job, you know, rather than work from the low rank to rise to become a supervisors or even to become a production leader.
Now, last year, Eversafe Rubber saw over 8 million ringgit in profit. That's a 38% jump on year. So that's compared to 2015. So what kind of growth are you expecting moving past the IPO?
We are seeing good signs this first quarter, 2017, which compared to last year's first quarter, we have more business coming in. That's why we need to gear up. Just like what I say, we are still on a hiring trend, you know, but we want to make sure ourselves more efficient. So the upgrade of the automation plan is on track, and then I believe that by first half of this year we will be able to automate certain part of our production line.
Now, given your efforts to automate some of these processes, I would assume you would have to import a bunch of this capital, right?
Yes.
How is the weaker ringgit affecting those plans?
Oh, weaker ringgit will make our capital outlay will be higher by 15%.
15%?
Well, when we planned for this, it was about 3 point something.
Right. Lucky now, you.
Yeah,
well, now it's 4.4.
Yeah, 4.4. But we have been investing since year 2012. End of 2012, we start importing. So 2013, I get a really low pound. I buy from UK. I get a low US dollars at that time. So I would say that it's not going to affect us much because it's a capital outlay. We need to use it, right? When I have 60%, close to 60% as of today, that is export business. So I will sell at US dollars, which that will counter the capital outlay.
So you got a net flow. So you got a natural hedge then.
I have a natural hedge, and in fact, I have a net import proceeds. Export proceeds. So
now, speaking about export, there, you know, I understand that you are having to look beyond Malaysia for growth. Before we talk about the other external markets, is it just the size of Malaysia that's limiting your growth plans, or is it, you know, the lack of demand here?
Well, Malaysia do not. Never lack of demand, right? We can go up to 40 or 50% of market share easily, but just the pricing here is not that attractive. And the market, the product range that you are using here do not command a higher value add.
Okay, hold on real quick. So right now, your market share is estimated to be about 20-22% right
now.
Yeah. But you are saying you could easily ramp that up to 40-50, but you don't want to.
Yes, because the pricing are not that good. And if I have an opportunity to sell overseas at a better margin, why metal margin is because of higher range of products. You are making a same car, but if you're selling a 3 series here, if ever you can sell a 7 series overseas, you choose to go up to sell the 7 series, which give you a better margins. But of course, coming that with our expansion and our growth in future, Malaysia is still our home market. We can come back. When you have enough capacities, I have enough additional capacity, I can take more Malaysia share. You know, it's just the how are you going to manage your business during different times?
Speaking about managing the business, Bank Negara has recently imposed that demand that exporters repatriate their proceeds, right? How is that kind of regulation
affect our day-to-day
affecting,
business?
Yeah, affecting our business.
Well, effectively, the December 2nd, the governments require your export proceed upon receive. You need to convert minimum of 75% to ringgit. However, there are two parts of it, you know. However, duties are allowed to be reconverted back to US dollar as the day you convert, receive, at the same rate without any loss in order to pay your import proceeds. So therefore, actually, it becomes even a better position for us. Best be, we never do hedging. We never speculate or sell our proceeds earlier, as we're doing a natural hedge to match our import and exports. And then we have additional. Therefore, it comes back to your questions that why we have additional profits due to the exchange of foreign proceeds. So government is giving us 3 point some percent interest if you keep it in ringgit, whereas in US dollars, there's no interest. So actually, in reality, that it makes us more better off somehow in this way, because we never, like so-called hedge. If we have run our business all this year by doing hedging, sell forward, then we'll get hit because we do not have enough cash flow to service our imports.
Okay, now you export to over 20 countries. I understand you're now aiming for South America.
Yep.
Why South America?
Well, number one, South America itself, it could say that it's the largest retrading market in the world. And for Brazil itself, it's the largest economy in South America, and also the BRICS, B-R-I-C. It's by far the second largest retrading market in the world, right after the United States. It provides us a vast opportunity to expand there. Our distributor, our partners there, we have been developing them since we started to do business in 2012. So, and then 2013, and then, as you know, the last few years has also been bad for for Brazil because of their currency, you know. They share the eco dilemma like as Malaysia for the last few years because they are also oil exporting countries. So, but we are seeing signs of more business coming in this year. Starting to, you know, 2 years ago was bad for them, so it never picked up, it maintained. But for us, because we start from zero, we didn't see the heat. But now we start to see the delay engine to start. So now we are going to, for the next few years, we're going to concentrate a lot on there. You know, as the market, like, for example, Brazil itself, they have about 2013, they're about 8 million retraded tires, which is about, what, 8 times or 9 times of Malaysian market.
Mm.
So that provides us some room, you know, for us to grow as a small company, you know, from the east, which we have a far cheaper cost of manufacturing.
And hopefully it'll be easier if you brush up on your Portuguese for Brazil and Spanish for South
America.
Well,
I need to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
So then you can greet them well. Then it will be a better opportunity for us.
Es muy importante aprender a hablar español. You know, I took a year of Spanish in college. Yeah.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
So maybe you can look for me. I'm kidding. Yeah. Switching over from South America to China. Look, China is your largest contributor by revenue. So as you make those forays into South America, you know, where does that place China in terms of your global presence?
Well, China is not the big. It's not my main country.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
It's not. So China is part of our business. We have been operating in China, I mean, since 2005.
Looks like some media reports have misquoted you there. So it's not your largest contributor for revenue?
No. Okay. It's not my largest contributor. No, we have subsidiaries there.
Hmm.
And then I have a trading company. I have a small factories there, you know, just to do some manufacturing for the local market. China market has not been good since 2009.
Why is that?
Because of the global financial crisis. And that actually affects Chinese business since then. China has never been good since then because the export has been down a lot.
But they've been seeing up to double digit on your growth for their GDP. Is that not translating into your industry?
No, not really. Because, see, China overloading issue still even worse than Malaysia.
What do you mean by overloading?
It means that they load more than they're supposed to load.
Oh, onto their trucks. Okay,
so
right.
It makes the tires are all like premature failure. So they don't even finish one time, it's all gone. So there's no second life. So that is one issue. And then China, they are making a lot of budget or low quality new tires. So that also doesn't fit for second life or third life. So that is an issue. And another thing would be that that really deters the growth of the retrading market into real large scale that comparable to their economy size and comparable to their GDP. Well, there was a big growth in 2005, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007 until 2008, the financial crisis. Then suddenly the whole thing collapsed.
Mm.
So that's why when we went in, was on the growing trend.
Mm.
You know, but at that time, our Malaysian business are smaller than what we have now. So we see it as an opportunity. But unfortunately, China did not perform that well. In reality, after the 2009, the economy are doing real well. Just the government spending is supporting the GDP only. But the export business and the transport industry has not been really good since then.
Let's end with this then. So you're gearing up for your listing on the ACE market.
Yep.
Is this a good time?
Well, I think we are quite lucky, and this is very good timing where the volume for the last 3 to 6 months has been very active in the Malaysian market, also a worldwide market. And we have a very good response. You know, as far as, well, we know we have a 65 times over subscription for the public balloting, which I think is shows of the sign that the general investing community having a confidence back into our Malaysian market. So I believe it's a good timing for us. We are quite lucky.
Well, we'll certainly wish you all the best when those shares do get listed on April 21st. Thank you so much for your time and your insights there. That was Chia Siang Ti, CEO and Executive Director of Eversafe Rubber. I'm Tan Chung Han for BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.